The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that gold and silver belongs in every investment portfolio? Find out how and why right now on In the Money. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. My son and partner, Adam Bluestein, is out of town this week doing graduate diamond training at the Gemological Institute of America headquarters. But we're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every day, and as of now, you have a friend in the business. Did you know that gold and silver belongs in every investment portfolio? Today on our Insider Report, you'll get the inside story on why gold and silver are a traditional hedge in troubled financial times and how you can participate in the rising precious metals market. Also, we'll be talking to Ben Gerwitz, a certified financial planner with Financial Life Advisors, and we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of investing in gold and silver. You know, in 2008, when the equities markets were crashing and real estate values were crashing, so many people I know lost 40, 50% of their net worth because they were invested solely in these markets. I know it sounds like a strange thing to brag about, but Adam and I lost only 25% of our net worth. And when the stock market finally recovered and gold and silver continued rising, we actually fully recovered and actually came out ahead. And that's really because we had an asset allocation for our total portfolios that included precious metals. We're not CPAs. We're not certified financial planners. We'll have Ben Gerwitz here in a few minutes to talk, and Ben's not going to agree with everything I have to say, but he is a certified financial planner. But common sense says don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's asset allocation, and that applies to precious metals too. You know, it doesn't do me much good to tell people, hey, don't put all your money into precious metals, because that's one way I make my living. But I do have a customer who was very bullish on precious metals about 3 years ago, and he got over 50% of his total net worth invested into gold, and he turned out to make a lot of money. But all the time I begged him, 50% in any one asset just can't be right. I told him that just because a blind man might wander across the interstate and not get run over by a semi-truck, that didn't make it a good idea. One of our in-the-money facts of life, number 14, nobody knows what the markets are going to do. Nobody. And even though he had a strong sense of what was going to happen, he didn't know. He was gambling with his entire net worth. You know, a healthy portfolio includes exposure to more than just one or two asset classes. Remember in 2000, the dot-com bubble, when that burst, people who had just been focusing on technology investments, now they lost almost everything. I remember, Sage of Nebraska, Warren Buffett, Sage of Omaha, he had almost no tech stock because he said he just didn't understand it. He kept away from it, and he didn't take a bath like almost everybody else did. A healthy stock portfolio is going to include exposure to technology for sure, but also financial and retail and healthcare, maybe some REITs and other segments of the market that you might be interested in. It'll include some growth and some value stocks, large, small, medium cap stocks. But a healthy total portfolio is going to have exposure to stocks and bonds and real estate, and yes, precious metals too. 5%, 10%, well, maybe 15% if you're very bullish. But my point is more than 0%, but only if you do it the right way. You know, there's really two ways to invest in precious metal. One is to own the precious metal on paper. And that's one thing that our guest today, Ben Gerwitz, is an expert on. And he's going to be talking to you about that. What Adam and I do at the Jewelry Exchange is specialize in the physical delivery of gold and silver. on today's Insider Report, I'm going to share some of my 30-plus years of experience with you about investing in precious metals for physical delivery. Physical delivery meaning you hold it in your hot little hands. Gold, silver, platinum, and now even palladium. Then we'll interview Ben Gerwitz from Financial Life Advisors to talk about precious metal shares, owning metal on paper. We'll do all that in just a couple of minutes, but first it's time for this week's In the Money Trivia Quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. Let's review last week's quiz, and here was last week's question. In 1909, a new coin was introduced in the United States to commemorate the birth date of a beloved past president. In 2009, special editions of that same coin were issued to once again commemorate his birth. Last week, we asked, who was the president? What was the denomination of the coin? Was it a cent or a nickel or a dime or some other denomination? And how many different special edition varieties were produced in 2009? Last week, our guest was Harry Lundgren from Harry's Coins, and Harry knew that instantaneously. Not many people got this correct. The right answer, the Lincoln cent, 2009 was the 100th anniversary of the Lincoln cent, and there were four different varieties. The prize, a proof NGC-certified four-piece set of the four 2009 varieties. Our winner was Donald Goldblatt. We invite Mr. Goldblatt, please come to the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days to claim your prize. Our business hours can be found at the Contact Us tab on our homepage at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. Now, for this week's quiz, most numismatists agree that the most beautiful gold coin ever minted was the Augustus St. Gaudens Double Eagle, the $20 gold piece that was available in the United States in the early 1900s. In fact, that's the design that the U.S. Mint chose in 1986 for the obverse of today's American Eagle gold coins. Most numismatists also agree that the most beautiful silver coin ever minted was Adolph Wyman's Walking Liberty Half Dollar, which was minted from 1916 until 1947. Unable or unwilling to be creative, U.S. Mint officials ripped off Wyman's Walking Liberty design to create a one-ounce pure silver bullion coin, the American Silver Eagle, in order to satisfy the demand from silver investors in the United States. Today's In the Money trivia question is, in what year and in what denomination was the first American Silver Eagle minted? Remember, to be a winner, you must tell us the year and the denomination. By denomination, we mean, was it a cent, a nickel, or a dime, or some other value? And to be a winner, all you have to do is to be one of the first three people to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. You can also submit your answer directly from our homepage at www.inthemoneyradio.com. Then listen to next week's show to see if we read your name on the air. If we do, just come up to our gallery to claim your prize. Come up to the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days. You can enter as often as you like, but please, we ask only one winner per household per month. Let's let everybody have a chance. And remember, that email address is quiz@inthemoneyradio.com, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. Good luck. And let's go to this week's Insider Report. We're always concerned when we do our show here in the Money that we don't want to sound like an infomercial. To accomplish this, we try to give you all the sides of the story, not just the sides that benefit us. That's why we've had jewelers and antique dealers and coin dealers on who offer some of the same goods and services that we do. If we talk too much about ourselves, I think we just can't help it because we're kind of proud of what we've built at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in the last 3 years. 3 years ago, there was just two people, Adam and me, and now there are 11 of us, full and part-time. And we've really have created a two-way trading center for new and estate jewelry, estate diamonds, all sizes and quality, rare coins and currency, guns and other weapons, and almost any type of collectible, and physical precious metal bullion in every form. By physical precious metals bullion, we mean gold, silver, platinum, palladium that you can hold in your hand, that you can take home with you, that you can take out at night when you're home all alone and look at it and go, ooh, that's mine. That's a lot of fun. And really, there are two ways to invest in precious metals: the paper shares that Ben Gerwitz will talk about shortly, and then the physical precious metals in your hand. At the Jewelry Exchange, we specialize in the physical precious metals that you can hold in your hand, and we consider ourselves a full-service precious metal broker. To my knowledge, there's really no other company in San Antonio doing exactly what we do. What do I mean by a full-service precious metal broker? That we know lots of people in the business of buying and selling physical gold and silver who make available to you whatever they happen to have at the moment. And the competitive prices, the fact is anybody in San Antonio in this business that I know, I can't think of anybody really who's not making competitive prices. We really don't have a lot of room to go for big commissions because there's a number of people doing this. But when I say that we're full service, what I mean is that we have a relationship with a world-class refinery who has a full menu of bullion and bullion-related products. And if we have what you want, we'll make you make the deal on the spot. But if we don't, we can still make the deal, and we'll have the merchandise shipped into us. We will go get it. And not to my knowledge, there's no other dealer in town doing that. If I'm wrong and you're a dealer who is providing full service, please contact me. I'll do a retraction on the air. I'm not trying to steal anybody's thunder. But all day long, people are asking us for all sorts of mainstream and obscure merchandise. And if we don't have it, we'll quote it and we'll go get it. We have a full menu of bullion and bullion-related products. All of the major monetized bullion. Monetized bullion is a form of bullion, like a coin, that actually has a face value. For example, the American Eagle gold, silver, and platinum coins. The American Eagle gold coin is a $50 coin. If somehow gold fell to a value of just $40, you could still spend that coin for $50. So you have some ultimate downside protection with the monetized bullion. Besides that, with monetized bullion, it's issued by a country rather than a private company. And so you have the added guarantee of an actual country that it actually contains what they say it contains. The major forms of monetized bullion: the American Eagle gold, silver, and platinum, the American gold buffaloes, the Canadian maple leaf, which is also a $50 coin, Chinese, Australian, Austrian, South African, and the Mexican monetized bullion. Most of these are available in 1 ounce coins, 1/2 ounce, 1/4 ounce, and 1/10 ounce, and some even in 1/20 ounce varieties. And of course, we're talking about troy ounces. Many people are familiar with the regular ounce, which is the avoirdupois ounce, 28.35 grams in the avoirdupois ounce. But the troy ounce is a special kind of ounce that applies only to precious metals and weighs about 10% more than the avoirdupois ounce, 31.103 grams. And so we deal in all of these forms of monetized bullion. And we even deal in some of the once popular but now obscure bullion, like the Swiss and French francs, the British sovereigns, Hungarian, Austrian ducats and coronas. We don't like those so much anymore. They don't make so much sense. Prior to the early 1980s, it was hard to get coins that were 1 ounce, 1/2 ounce, 1/4 ounce. And these world gold coins were pretty much all that they had. But, you know, really, how would you like to own a Swiss 20-franc gold coin that's about the size of a nickel that contains 0.1867 troy ounces of gold? I mean, let's say you have 3 20-franc Swiss coins and 2 British sovereigns and a Dutch guilder. Quick, how much gold do you have? I mean, nobody can calculate that. But if you have an American eagle and you have an American buffalo and a Canadian maple leaf, well, you have 3 ounces of gold. See, doesn't that make a lot more sense? And all that is monetized bullion, bullion that actually has a monetary face value that's produced and guaranteed by a country. But then there's just plain bullion that's manufactured by private companies. The bullion may be struck, or it may be extruded, or it could be just poured. It could be ingots or rounds or loaves. And it may be a major brand name such as Engelhard, Johnson Matthey, or the Pamp Swiss, but it could also be generic that's produced by a smaller refiner, somebody with less worldwide appeal. We really like the Pamp Swiss bars. It's a private company from Switzerland that's one of several making these products, but we like their broad range of products. They make beautiful, individually packaged, die-struck, serial-numbered ingots in 1 gram, 2.5 grams, 5, 10, and 100 grams, 1 ounce and 10-ounce gold bars. Whatever you want or need, you can accomplish it with Pamp Swiss bars. And it's less expensive per troy ounce to buy these bars that are made by private companies because, well, frankly, private companies are more efficient than governments. And what the United States Mint charges for a gold eagle, fresh off the press, is just plain more than what Pam Swiss charges for a comparable 1 ounce gold bar, even though they both have exactly the same amount of gold in it. So some people, they want the guarantee of a world mint of a country, and some people just want the cheapest bullion they can feel comfortable with. And so whatever you want, though, we can accomplish that for you. The same type of products exist for silver and for platinum, and now even palladium is coming into the fore. You have a choice between bullion and monetized bullion. I mean, I really wish I had the time to explain it all to you right now, but if you want to come to our gallery at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak, or give us a call at 210-592-8786. We're there Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. We're happy to take the time to make sure you really understand what's going on. We want to be your guys, and we want you to know what you're doing and to hear all the options, and then we're going to help you with whatever decision you make. Sometimes we say we'll help you make any mistake you want, but you're going to have to hear what we say first, because after 30-plus years of doing this, we've seen some people make some awful mistakes, and we don't want that to happen to you. So we're going to take the time it takes to understand what you want to accomplish and to make sure you have a comprehensive understanding of all your choices. And that's one of the things that makes us a full-service bullion dealer, because if we don't have what you want, we'll go and get it, and usually we'll have delivery for you within 48 hours. We have a customer who comes and sees us sometimes. He lives in Kerrville. He called recently. He didn't want to drive, but he didn't want to drive all the way to San Antonio, but he had some needs, some gifts and some investment products he wanted, and he wanted a combination of gold and silver ingots and coins. So we took his order over the phone. We quoted him in real time while he held on the phone, and we took his phone order. He wired the money. We told our refiner to release his order via drop shipment. They shipped it directly to him. We calculated our costs. In fact, we reveal our costs. We'll show the online trading platform to anybody who wants to see it. In this case, we added a 3% commission for ourselves, and we charged $25 for the shipping and insurance. Of course, had he chosen to pick up the merchandise in person, there would have been no shipping or insurance charge. And within 48 hours or so, the merchandise had arrived to him in Kerrville, and he's a happy camper. Also, we just liquidated a $100,000 position in American Gold Eagles for an estate attorney. He was acting on the instructions of a trustee of an estate that he represented. We took delivery of the Gold Eagles. There were about just under 60 American Eagle gold coins. Our attorney had a cashier's check from our bank within just minutes. We could have wired the money to him, but he chose to get the bank check. We charged him a 2% commission for doing that. And, you know, why do these people keep coming to us? It's because they feel comfortable presenting us this merchandise. They feel comfortable giving us a phone order and wiring money, because our specialty is just no surprises, no surprises at all. We're asked all the time about what we have to report when you buy and sell gold and silver. There was a lot of talk recently about a provision in the recent Obamacare bill that would have required anybody spending $600 or more per year, any non-incorporated entity spending $600 or more per year with just about anybody, to receive a 1099 form at the end of the year. In other words, the government, the federal government, would have been informed of all your transactions if you were buying gold and silver, and frankly, just about anything else too. But thankfully, that provision of the Obamacare legislation has been repealed. So when we buy gold and silver from somebody, we're not required to report that to any federal agency. When we buy anything from anybody, if we bought a pair of shoes from you, if we bought a coin from you or a piece of jewelry, we're required by Texas state law to get positive ID and to scan that ID and to report the merchandise that we're purchasing. And as the law says, to keep that in our record book for 3 years so that the state can track that at any time. Frankly, that's stolen property control and has nothing to do with your bullion needs. In my 3 years here and in the 25 years that I did business in California, I never had a state or federal official want to see any record of any kind of bullion deal. Frankly, I think if they decided to go fishing for people buying and selling gold and silver, they're going to go after bigger fish than I. When we're selling precious metals, we have no responsibility to report anything to anybody. When we sell or buy anything for $10,000 or more in cash, we and everybody else, including your bank, has an obligation to file a form with the federal government. And so, believe me, there are a lot of $9,900 transactions going on. Some people are afraid to do that because they don't want to look like they're skirting the law. But I always think that, you know, if a police officer pulled me over on the interstate and said, "Did you know, Mr. Bluestein, you're going 69 miles an hour in a 70-mile zone?" I might say, "Gee, why don't you give me a call when I've actually broken a law?" The law says that if you spend $10,000 or more in cash for anything, that a form has to be filed with the federal government. But that only applies for $10,000 or more. So transactions of less than that amount, there's nothing that we have to file. If you choose to pay with cash, you can be John Smith if you choose to. You know, a lot of people, a lot of our customers, they want anonymity, and that's something you can't get with paper precious metals. They want to hold this merchandise in their hands. A lot of our customers are survivalists, and they're concerned that if everything hits the fan, that the dollar might not be valuable anymore. And so for those kind of people, precious metals in the form of paper certificates or shares just isn't going to work. They want to be able to pick up their merchandise and run with it. You know, we advise people that if they want physical precious metal as in order to hold it in the case of needing something to barter with or to trade with, we caution you that if you're buying gold bars, 1 ounce, 10 ounce gold bars, and there really is a crisis and the precious metal prices skyrocket, that it might be a mistake to have your smallest unit being 1 ounce of gold that at the time could, and under that survivalist type of scenario, be worth $5,000, $10,000 or more. Imagine needing a drink of water and you have the smallest bill you have is a $10,000 bill. I'm not sure you feel comfortable that you're going to get change. And so for the survivalists, we often steer people with that kind of scenario in mind to silver. Because although silver is available in kilo bars and 100-ounce bars and tens and ones, it's also available in the form of United States silver coins minted 1964 and before. Two half dollars from 1964 or before is equivalent to four quarters minted 1964 and before, and that's equivalent to 10 dimes minted 1964 and before. Each one of those is $1 of face value. $1 of face value in pre-1965 United States 90% silver coins contains 0.71 to 0.72 ounces, troy ounces of pure silver, depending on how worn they are. Right now, they trade for about 20 times their face value. So $1 face value is worth about $20, which makes a half dollar right now worth about $10, a quarter worth about $5, and a dime worth about $2. If there were a critical scenario where the prices of precious metals skyrocketed, you might like to have a pocket full of silver dimes. Anybody who will be accepting precious metal as a barter will realize that each dime has 0.071 ounces of pure silver in it, and you might have an opportunity then to get a drink of water for something that might be worth $5 or $10 at the time instead of $5 or $10,000. In any case, regardless of whether you're interested in physical precious metal or paper precious metal, we ask you please remember our In the Money Facts of Life 14 tips that we believe are critical for anybody to understand if they're buying and selling anything. Nobody knows what the markets are doing. Nobody knows what they're going to do. If we knew, we wouldn't be on the radio. We'd be out fishing on our boat. We wouldn't be talking to you. Hey, that music means that we're up against a hard break. KLUP is about to take you away for a couple of messages, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with Ben Gurwitz, certified financial planner with Financial Life Advisors. Don't go away. You're listening to In the Money with David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Adam Bluestein is at GIA headquarters doing some continuing education this week, but we're here today with our special guest, Ben Gurwitz, a certified financial planner with Financial Life Advisors, and we're talking about investing in gold and silver. Welcome, Ben. Thanks for joining us here on In the Money.
Thanks for having me.
Ben, what exactly is a certified financial planner, and who are your clients?
A certified financial planner is somebody who's agreed to take some extra education, about 18 college hours, subjected themselves to a background check, passed a comprehensive two-day exam, and has at least 2 or 3 years of professional experience in the area of financial planning.
And did you enjoy that work?
I do. I really enjoy it.
I like what I do, too. It's wonderful when you're happy with what you're doing. Tell me something. I know from talking to you before the show, we always try not to go into too much depth because we'd like the interview to be fresh. But I know that you have clients who have some exposure to precious metals. Are your clients in general interested in precious metal today?
Well, I think like most people, they're interested in any place that can make the money. And gold has done very well, so I hear about how much money's been made in gold, and why didn't I have more exposure in gold?
There you go, because you're supposed to know everything in advance, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And do you think that people are more interested now than they were before?
I think they're interested simply because of the run-up in gold. People are very excited about it, and they're curious about other precious metals.
And they want to be where the action is, right? Is there a place for precious metal in an intelligently allocated portfolio?
Absolutely. One of the tenets of our investment philosophy is asset allocation, and I think you're familiar with it. But the basic idea is that when you mix different types of assets, gold being one of them, equities, bonds, by mixing them together, you can actually lower the risk of your portfolio. And gold historically has been very uncorrelated to the market, as was demonstrated in 2008 during the financial crisis. When everything was going down, gold was holding its own because traditionally it's been a great safe haven when people are scared.
So you limit your risk you spread the risk, but you limit your upside potential too by spreading that risk.
Sure.
Okay. We specialize at the Jewelry Exchange in physical precious metal, precious metal you can hold in your hand, but that's not for everybody, right? In fact, you might even disagree with our basic premise here that gold and silver belongs in every investment portfolio.
I probably would disagree. Anytime you have something that says everything, there's always a situation where it doesn't apply if you think long enough. traditionally, you know, one of the problems with gold is it doesn't produce income. You own a piece of real estate, it produces income. You own a stock, it pays a dividend. You own a bond, it pays a coupon. Gold doesn't produce anything except you hope that it goes up in value.
That's a good point. Can you tell me in your arena, what products are reasonably available for investing in precious metals?
Well, the easiest way to invest in precious metals is through ETFs and ETNs.
ETF meaning?
Exchange-traded fund and exchange-traded note. They trade just like stocks. So if you're used to, they have a ticker, you can go into any discount broker or talk to your investment person, and they can buy any. If they can buy a stock, they can buy an ETF.
And so if you have an account with Fidelity Investments, for example, an ETF, you might be able to do a trade for $7.95, a quick in and out?
Absolutely. And that is the big appeal of investing, and probably one of the reasons why precious metals have gotten a lot more interest from investors and from investment advisors.
I see, diving in and jumping in and out.
It makes it a lot easier than having to actually transact the physical gold. To be able to enter a quick trade, you know, millions of shares are traded every day. There's a very liquid market, and there's little to no transaction cost to get in and out of those.
And so if somebody wanted to invest in gold or silver or some other precious metal, namely, I suppose, platinum and palladium, and we were talking before the show, even some of these rare minerals, there are ETFs for that.
Absolutely. And ETFs, there's lots of different types of ETFs. And there's ETFs that you think of that you're buying gold, that actually own gold. When you buy a share of an ETF that actually owns bullion, there's a piece of gold in a vault somewhere being protected that you actually own. But there's also ETFs where you're not buying the actual metal. You're buying future contracts, or you're purchasing exchange-traded notes where they're tracking a specific index, and they promise to give you the return of that index, and if they go broke, as was highlighted in 2008, mm-hmm. It's based on the creditworthiness of the issuer. And then some people invest in precious metals by investing in the actual companies that are highly tied to it. If you're investing in a gold miner and the price of gold goes down, their stock generally goes down.
But when you're investing in a gold miner, you're at the mercy of the veracity of their balance sheet, and especially with some of these small people, what they tell you they have in the ground or how much cash in the bank, that might not really be true.
True. So you're not, just because gold goes up doesn't mean a gold miner will go up, and the gold miner could go up more or less. Other factors could affect mining, the cost of energy. If diesel fuel goes up, obviously it's more expensive to mine. And if they pick the right mountain to drill into, it could be good or bad.
Now, for really adventurous investors, I know that ProShares and PowerShares have some interesting products.
Inverse and leveraged ETFs. And
rock and roll.
They are not for the faint of heart. And they're really, one of the big misunderstandings is they're not for long-term holding. To get an inverse or a leveraged position, you have to use derivatives, and they rebalance those every single day. So if you've ever experienced a rise, if the stock price goes down 50%, the stock price then has to rise 100% to get you back
right.
to even.
Right.
So if every day the portfolio is rebalanced for those inverse shares, gold could be up, but your inverse double X share through the volatility could actually be down, and a lot of investors don't understand that.
Yes.
I generally recommend, unless you're a day trader, which also I'm not a big fan of,
no.
I recommend staying away from them.
Yeah, so it's a minefield out there. And so what kind of people are your clients? Who needs a financial certified financial planner?
Well, typically our expertise is helping people sort of put their whole financial life together, making sure their insurance is appropriate, making sure their investment portfolio is going to meet their needs and be an appropriate risk for their situation. Also, do they have an estate tax problem? Is there a way to be more efficient in their income tax? And then ultimately, the big question that everybody has, do I have enough money to retire,
right.
or how do I get there?
Nobody wants to be around when the money's run out. So I know the older you get, the more conservative you have to be. So I think you might make the case that because of the lack of income and because of the potential volatility, that possibly the older you get, probably the less precious metals would be for you.
Well, that would typically be true. That doesn't necessarily mean that you should not have precious metals. They do have benefit because it's an uncorrelated asset. As I said, it works the opposite of some of the other investments in your portfolio. So as you age, you probably want to reduce your exposure to all risky investment assets and increase it in more conservative assets. So you might own 5-10% in gold when you're younger and are taking more risk, and as you get older, you might reduce it to 5-3% of your portfolio.
I remember growing up with the what was the rule that for every year of your age, you should have 1% of your portfolio in fixed income.
I think it's 100 minus your age.
100 minus your age.
Some people now say it should be 120 minus your age. That's the problem with rules of thumb. They change over time.
They work until they don't work anymore. But I think that the evidence is showing that equities being held in a portfolio of an older and older person might make more sense than people used to think they would be compared to fixed income.
Well, a big misconception, I think, with investors is that when you turn 65 and you retire, that you don't need any more risk in your portfolio.
Exactly.
Well, when you live to 100 years old or beyond, that's a 35-year investment horizon. And so you need to generate returns in your portfolio above inflation well into your 60s, 70s, and possibly even 80s, depending on your health.
I'm 12 years older than my wife, and so we have a real problem there. We're going to long after I'm gone, that portfolio better keep producing for her. And I hate the idea that she might be 80 or 85 and what have to go to work. So it's a little tricky for us. Talk to me, please, about commodity futures on the NYMEX or the Chicago Board of Trade.
Well, commodities. Gold is a commodity. Other precious metals are commodities. Also oil and pot-bellied pigs, and corn and heating oil, whatever it may be. There's a lot of different things that we use. Originally, commodity exchanges were set up to protect the producers and the consumers from price fluctuations, but they become much more speculative. And when we recommend exposure to gold, we generally are really recommending exposure to all commodities. They have a lot of similarities in their volatility. Gold is a safe haven, more so than other ones, but by having a broader commodity mix, again, can lower your risk a little bit.
So when you're talking about gold, you're really talking about the asset class of commodities.
Yeah, we generally don't isolate gold very often in a portfolio.
So I'm guessing you wouldn't have any preference for one precious metal over another. You'd like the commodity class, when appropriate, of commodities in general. In the coin business, we run into companies all the time talking about gold in your IRA, that under certain conditions and with certain restrictions, you can buy physical gold and have it stored in a depository someplace, often in another state. And supposedly that gold will stay there until you want to sell it. And that way you'll have exposure to gold in your IRA. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, personal enjoyment of your asset is one of the things the IRS doesn't want you to do when you have an IRA. You can buy real estate in an IRA, but you and your kids can't live there. You can buy gold, but it has to be kept by a custodian, and you can't touch it and play with it. Ultimately, it sounds a lot like a gold bullion ETF. When you say, I want to buy gold, but I can't actually hold it. It has to be held for safekeeping, and someone else has to keep track of it for me. You're probably much better just buying a gold ETF than you are purchasing real gold and sticking it in a vault somewhere with a custodian. It's generally an expensive way, too, because they have to keep track of it, and they charge you for that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're trying to accomplish with this show. It certainly doesn't help me as a physical gold trader to tell people that this complex system of hiring a depository to hold your gold for you, it's so unnecessary. If you have a trading account and you can just buy a gold ETF, or there are other commodity ETFs or natural resource ETFs. Sometimes I think maybe there's too many ETFs. Some of these ETFs, they get so broad and so managed that it's like owning a mutual fund, and a lot of these mutual fund managers don't have a really good track record. So, sure, it's a minefield out there, and we can all use some help. But I just never saw the need to hire some I'm thinking of one deposit. Oh, boy, I hope they can't hear us in Oklahoma. But I know of a depository in Oklahoma, and I'm thinking, I don't know who would hire them. It'd just be so easy to press a button or to tell your guy, hey, pick me up some of that stuff. I don't really get it. Ben, if you had a client that was really bullish on gold or precious metals and he wanted to jump in with both feet, what would be your advice to him?
Well, that's all I do is give advice. So I would try to explain historically that gold has been as volatile as stocks, but over the long term hasn't returned a great rate of return. It's been more like bonds or even less cash, depending on the time window you're looking at. And I would just encourage them with anything not to invest too much in one area. But if they want to do it, I can't stop anybody from doing it.
Now, you made a statement that all you do is give advice. One of our in-the-money facts of life is that nobody knows what the markets are going to do. And then we punctuate that at the end again with the word nobody. Now, if you're giving advice, are you telling people what the markets are going to do?
I don't.
A softball. I already knew what you were going to say.
Well, it's a tough part of my business is because people expect me to know what's going to happen.
Isn't it the truth?
In the markets. And I was talking to a client today and saying, the hardest part about this whole thing is surrendering to the fact that you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
That you have to make a plan that will survive all kinds of scenarios and hope for the best just try to keep everything tax efficient and low cost.
Yeah, people ask us all the time. I say, I know what it's going to do. It's going to go up and down and up and down and up and down. In fact, the best guarantee I can give you is the day after you buy it, it's going to go down. And the day after you sell it, it's going to go up. And of course, that's not true, but it just seems that way. It seems that you're always ducking and weaving when you shouldn't be.
Well, there's actually investor psychology behind that. People feel losses twice as much as they enjoy gains.
As an ex-professional poker player, I know exactly what you're saying. Those bad beats hurt much more than even winning a tournament. I like that. Ben, if somebody wants to contact you and talk to you, how can they do that?
Well, the easiest way to do it is to go to our website, FL Advisors for Financial Life Advisors, and that's advisors with an O, or they can call our office 918-8998, we'd be happy to talk to anybody who needs some help.
And if someone just wanted to have a general discussion with you, is there any charge? Is there any obligation to do that?
Initial consultations are always free.
Oh, that's great.
So they can sit down, and hopefully even if they don't end up hiring us, maybe they can get some good information out of us.
Ben, I always end every interview with the same question. What question do you wish I had asked you that I didn't?
I wish you had asked me, what is my wife's favorite precious metal?
And, everybody tells you, oh, I'll save you a fortune. I remember when the phone companies were having their battle. Every day the phone rang several times. Everyone was going to save me 20%, and then 20 more %, 20 more %. Ben, you've got to see us at the Jewelry Exchange. Either she'll save a lot of money or she'll get a lot more bang for the buck. And I don't ask you to just believe me. You can come and look and see that. At auction, there's some tremendous opportunity. Anyway, I don't want to go into a commercial here. Well, the fact is, I do want to go into a commercial. We are going to take a short commercial break right now, and we'll return to open up the phone lines here on In the Money with our special guest, Ben Gurwitz, financial planner with Financial Life Advisors. And I'm David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. Hi, everybody. I'm David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, co-host of KLUP's In the Money. Last Saturday evening, our Stone Oak Gallery was packed with people just like you, and over 12,000 people from around the world participated in our live weekly auction. Each week at the Jewelry Exchange, our customers name their own prize for new and estate jewelry, rare coins and currency, guns and collectibles of all types. There's different merchandise every week, 250 to 350 lots. If you don't preview, you will have no idea what you're missing. We guarantee that you'll save real money compared to jewelry store and coin shop prices. You can bid live in the gallery or through our internet simulcast. You can bid online, and you'll never pay retail again. It's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak each Saturday evening in San Antonio. Hey, break up your routine. You're going to have a good time, and we're always buying and selling. What's in your closet? We want to know. We need your jewelry, coins, and guns right now. Texas license number 16604. We're members of the Better Business Bureau. Check the Better Business Bureau website. Never even been a complaint against us. You can preview tonight's merchandise right now at jewelryexchangeandauction.com, or come on in and preview in person. You'll find everything you need to know at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And please join us here every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP. Well, you're back with David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Adam Bluestein is at GIA headquarters, and I'm here with our special guest, Ben Gerwitz, certified financial planner with Financial Life Advisors. We're talking about investing in gold and silver. Let's go to the phones. Line one, we have Tom. Tom, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Thanks for calling us.
Doing good this evening. I think I almost have an answer to my question in regards to I have some silver that was part of an inheritance that I was really not interested in utilizing, and I just had never really felt like I'd had a good way or method of looking at trying to sell it rather than selling it off as scrap like the jewelry exchange, like the ad was just on prior to making my call.
Right. Well, tell me, Tom, what form is it in?
The silver flatware.
Well, I can tell you that of the hundreds and hundreds of flatware sets that we've handled at the jewelry exchange in the last 3 years or so, maybe one or two has actually traded beyond its silver value. As the culture shift and young people less and less were interested in eating on $30 and $40 forks, and as the price of silver went up and up and this merchandise became worth more and more, the question becomes service for 8, service for 12. Well, would you rather have a fancy, some fancy eating utensils, or would you rather have $1,000 or $2,000 in cash? And the answer for almost everybody now is take the cash. Almost any flatware set that's made in the United States in the 20th century is going to go straight to the refiner. All my professional life, there were brands and styles like Grand Baroque, for example, that we could always get extra money for. And lately, we can't even get extra money for Grand Baroque, maybe 5% over the spot price. Mm. But, you know, we'd be happy to look at what you have. And, in fact, we're happy to prove to you by taking your flatware on consignment, photographing it, uploading it to the Internet, showing to somewhere between 10 and 24,000 people, and let's see if we can get a bid over the metal price. But I can save you the trouble and tell you you almost certainly can't. And what you really have there is some silver in a non-investable form, but still it's 92.5% pure silver. Everybody knows what it is. But the chances that you can get more for it without going to work and trying to find a private buyer for it are very, very slim. There's merchandise, of course, obscure merchandise from the 1900s where that might not be the case, but anything 20th century, which is probably what you have from the United States, really just silver. And when you're ready to divest yourself of it, you're going to get paid for the silver. That's my prediction. But if you want to, bring it on in. We'll look at it in Stone Oak. We'll talk to you intelligently about it.
Where are you located in Stone Oak?
19903 Stone Oak Parkway at the top of the hill. The Mormon Temple with the big gold statue on top.
Right.
Across the street, there's a new McDonald's. We're on the same corner as the McDonald's.
I was by there yesterday.
You know, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6. Show it to us. Anyone on our staff can talk to you reasonably about it.
I just felt a little more comfortable about trying to find a location like that rather than driving, you know, around to whomever.
We buy old gold. I mean, they can be all over the place, but we're licensed by the state, and we're going to share information with you, and you won't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Well, I sure appreciate it.
I appreciate it too, Tom. Please come in and see us, and we'll do everything we can for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Line two, David, you're on KLUP with In the Money with David Bluestein and Ben Gerwitz. We're talking about gold and silver.
Well, hey, David.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show, and
oh,
I had
you.
A question. I noticed you didn't mention anything about palladium. I know Canada is selling these maple leaf coins.
Right.
And they look like a real bargain compared to gold or platinum, and I was just wondering what your opinion might be on maybe investing in these type of coins.
My reflex tells me avoid physical palladium because the difference between the buy price and the sell price is just too wide. I mean, when you buy a share of stock, you're going to pay for a widely traded share, you're going to pay 1 cent more than you can sell it for. The buy-sell spread is probably only a penny. And when you buy a piece of jewelry, you're probably going to pay 5 or 6 times what you could sell it for the next day. And so that buy-sell spread is just too wide. Mm. And until fairly recently, the buy-sell spread on palladium was just too wide, too. But it's coming into the fore, and it's being traded more widely now. Of course, you mentioned the Canadian palladium maple leaves. The Canadian government makes gold, silver, platinum, and now palladium maple leaves.
Mm-hmm,
and
the
U.S. government is seriously exploring the palladium eagle coin, too, to add to its trio of precious metal coins. And the spreads are coming together more and more narrow, so it starts to become a better investment. If you have to pay one price and then your investment has to rise 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% before you can even get your money back, well, that's a lousy investment. Jewelry's a lousy investment. And palladium is becoming more and more investable now. And, of course, you can save money getting 1 ounce and 10-ounce bars, but if you'd like the comfort of having something from the government, that's the palladium maple leaf.
Do you think because it's an industrial metal that that would make it a little bit more valuable in the long run?
Well, it's more in demand. Look what happened to platinum when China and India started getting into private car ownership in a bigger and bigger way.
Mm.
And, in fact, people said, gee, why did platinum crash so badly lately compared to gold? And I honestly think it's related to the tsunami in Japan. They shut down production. And what can you do? The world just didn't need as much platinum in the short term, and the platinum prices fell. I'm not much for measuring the ratios between all the different precious metals, because maybe silver's too cheap, but maybe gold's too high.
Right.
It doesn't really mean anything, these ratios.
It just seems so volatile right now, these metal markets.
I know,
right,
but
now,
look, in the money fact of life number 14. Nobody knows what the markets are going to
do.
Nobody. You pays your money and you takes your chances. So ultimately, you just have to make that decision. Oh, gee, I can't believe it. That music means we're out of town.
I appreciate it.
Oh, David, yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
We're all out of time. We'd like to thank our guest, Ben Gurwitz, certified financial planner with Financial Life Advisors. We'll be back next Saturday at 7 a.m. with next week's program, It Takes Two to Make an Auction. We'll give you our insider's report, and we'll welcome our special guest, Billy Ward, from Ward Auction Company in San Antonio. If you have any questions about the auction business, contact us at Jewelry Exchange and Auction, 210-592-8786. Email your questions to questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We'll answer every single question. We hope to see you all tonight at our auction, our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak. And we hope you'll join us again next week and every week here for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Have a great week, everybody. Hope to see you tonight in Stone Oak.